Have you ever heard the argument that abortion is necessary because it will spare mothers from postpartum depression? Let's talk about how we can respond. Come debrief with us. Hey, y'all. I'm Lexi.
I'm Ethan, the Robin of the debrief.
All right, Ethan, if you're Robin, that makes me Batman. Although your voice is lower than mine, so.
Oh, well, okay.
Wow. Okay. Like, so that
Batman
was
talks like you know really.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to listen. Anyways,
normal voices.
Normal voices.
Okay,
only.
We can do that.
We're very serious here.
Well, this is gonna be interesting. That question, Lexi. I'm not sure I've heard that before. I'm intrigued by this conversation.
Definitely. I don't think I've ever had a conversation like we're about to listen to. This is actually an outreach that was conducted at the National Mall in DC, and it was. Claire was talking to this girl. She was probably like maybe in her late teens, early 20s or whatever. And she had some interesting points. You're not really going to hear any of Claire's voice when you play the clip because it's just her giving a long list of reasons why abortion is good or like is justified. We should have abortion. And so I think we should just get straight on
into
the clip.
Okay.
A lot of the cases, the mothers who are going through abortions and things like that don't do it because they want to. Nobody wants to abort a fetus because it's not, nobody wants to do that to their own body. It's very harmful to their mental health. However, a lot of the mothers who go through that procedure, even before the life is in danger, it's because they can't financially, mentally provide for the fetus when it's alive. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, after pregnancy, mothers go through postpartum depression, which can cause them to abuse their children, which results in a much lower quality of life for the child itself. And it also reduces, it makes mothers suicidal. It gives them depression, anxiety, so many mental health issues that could easily be avoided if they just aborted the child. In a lot of cases, their families also shun them, so they deal with social exclusion, economic exclusion as well, because taking care of a child costs about $14,000 a year, and it's only more and more as the years go by, especially with the healthcare system in the country.
Wow, she had her list ready.
She did.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to write this down so I can think of things to say. And like that was boom, boom, boom.
I know. I was actually kind of impressed by her in that way, not by what she was actually saying, but she didn't hesitate. So the first thing that I noticed whenever I initially listened to that clip was that she couldn't stop herself from calling the baby a child.
Well, she put, like said, the child, the fetus.
Then at one point she like started saying, and then she said fetus, and then the last time she did just said child and didn't even try to correct herself.
That programming is kicking in. Like she wants to say child because that's the natural right thing. But like, oh, no, I've heard fetus, like correcting herself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why do you think that is? That just because she kind of feels the need to, for her own position, for her own argument's sake, not use the word child.
Robin, what do you say?
I definitely think it's a commitment to an ideology. I've heard this before with one lady who was talking about like the feeling of motherhood. And kind of, she had a child, started to feel those feelings. She's like, this does not fit with my feminist ideology. So she's like, I need to subdue these emotions that are rising up. I think it's kind of the same thing with this, where she knows it's a child, but because of her ideology, she wants to say fetus, because saying it's a child doesn't fit with her presupposed ideology.
Mm. Once you commit to it being a child, so much comes along with that, right? You have a child, you have a mother, a relationship, obligations, caring, and not killing, right? So there's so much that comes with that. You've got to, like you said, Ethan, distance herself from that. That's good.
Mm. Well, yeah, I think she must like know a thing or two about her side or her position because of how ready she was in the conversation to just list off all the reasons why she is for abortion. But I guess she's thought through it a little bit, and also just the natural instinct of not wanting to say killing or having an abortion when you're talking about a child, and it's easier to just dehumanize them by saying fetus. But
everyone listening knows this, but fetus we know means young one, right?
Yes.
So like it's just a way we try to avoid the reality, but even the word fetus it points to the reality of what we are dealing with, a young human being or a young child.
Exactly, just a coping mechanism that she's using. And I guess if like even if a word means something, but nobody will like agree or nobody knows what that word means, then they can just, you know, make up their own definition.
You have the technical definition that no one knows. Yes. You have the common definition everyone knows, which is like this developmental marker that's like this kind of, we know that there are fetuses of many species. So you're right. Even if it means technically young one, people use it to mean something else. So that's what matters. They're common usage. And the common usage is not a child.
Definitely.
It's just this like subhuman or very tiny, ungrown thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ungrown? Undeveloped.
Undeveloped, that's yeah. They're grown. Yeah. Just a little tiny little baby. Yeah. Okay, so the other thing that I noticed was that she said, initially, she's like, nobody wants to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. Now, we hear this all the time. Oh, nobody loves abortion. Nobody wants to have an abortion. Is that true?
Not if you're paying attention to the pop culture. At least from the pop culture perspective, there is definitely this push of like shout your abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are some people who don't want to get an abortion who do, but I think to say that nobody wants to get an abortion is not true, especially in our culture that glorifies death and that kind of thing. I think there are a lot of people who do actually want to get abortions.
Yeah, what did you say to that, Seth?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look at the response after Dobbs, right?
Yeah.
It's not about what about this unique hard situation where someone might need an abortion. It's just like, we all need this, right? And, right. And I don't know. I mean, there's just this and really, I get it. I mean, if abortion is not wrong, if it's not immoral, doesn't kill a child, then why would you have any limits on it? Why not have everyone have many abortions, right? So it points to the problem of like, we cannot have an honest conversation. Is abortion moral, right or wrong? Should it be legal, illegal? It's all this like confusion and clouding behind like laundry list things like this person listed.
This person listed. Yeah. Struggling today. I completely agree. But she kind of moves on. I guess what she's saying, I think what most people are saying or meaning when they say nobody wants an abortion is really they recognize it is a difficult thing, but they're more than willing to do it because they'd rather do it than have the child.
Yeah.
So they do want the abortion. I mean, if you didn't want the abortion, you wouldn't have the abortion. So at some level, you may be like, oh, you know, this is real hard on me. But again, it's really just focusing back on you. It's real hard on me. Even she said that having an abortion takes a toll on the mother's mental health.
Yeah.
And so she was even granting that. So you're saying, yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to hurt the woman and on some level, but the pros outweigh the cons.
Right. It's not that this is like something bad that I'm doing. It's just slightly less good than actually having the baby. But it's not a bad thing to do, I think, is what she was saying.
Yeah. And I think in some circumstances you'd say, oh no, it's the best thing ever.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, but yeah, moving on from that, I was just like, she said, again, she granted that, yes, it's harmful. Abortion is harmful to women. It's harmful for their mental health is what she was saying. And so why is abortion? If abortion is healthcare, if abortion is something that's good, Seth, why is abortion harmful to women's mental health?
I'm sorry, you're asking if she is right that it's healthcare a good thing, why is it harmful to her? Is that your question?
My question is more like, she's even granting, she's on our side saying, we would say all day long, yes, abortion is harmful to women's mental health. Why is that? Why is abortion harmful?
Oh, well, I mean, okay. So, I mean, we know in reality what abortion is. Even in best case scenario, let's say you're not killing a child. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's a subhuman thing, some whatever inside there. You have to force open someone's cervix, which is tight during pregnancy, so the baby does not fall out.
Yeah.
You have to do that first. You have to then do some kind of procedure, which either let's say you're not doing, let's set aside surgical for a moment, medical only. You take these pills, which kill a baby. You have contractions for hours at home in your house. This is not a pleasant experience, right? Mm-hmm. Even if there's not someone being killed there. So we know the moral problem is not the harm to the mother. The moral problem is you're killing someone, but you cannot kill someone without causing a lot of damage to yourself, physically, emotionally, spiritually. The surgical abortions, you're having someone rip out that baby piece by piece. This is not a pleasant procedure. And that's why, back to her first point, you know, we all go to abortion facilities. We see people outside. They're not coming joyfully skipping into the clinic. No one, I shouldn't say no one, I'm falling into what they say, right? But many people are not coming joyfully to the clinic, right? Those who actually are having abortions, they celebrate abortion later, I think, as a kind of coping mechanism. In the moment, they're coming there grieving their real issues they're facing. Killing a baby is not the solution, but it does cause a lot of harm to them as they kill the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just doesn't really line up with her view of abortion as it's just healthcare.
Now, we know there are like side effects to getting healthcare you do need.
That's true.
But that doesn't leave the same kind of moral grief upon you, right? Yeah.
Especially mental health, I think, is because like we understand that every single procedure is going to have some sort of side effect to you physically. But where I think it's really different is there's such a toll on women's mental health.
Yeah.
And sure, I'm sure there are procedures out there that are good that also, you know, are maybe hard to like go through. I know like even like people who have like cleft lip, when they have to get some procedures, their facial features change a lot sure. when they yeah. have to do that. And that probably takes a toll on you.
For sure,
mentally.
That's trauma.
But
yeah.
you know that it's actually a good thing. It's actually for healthcare is actually helping you furthering your life. So where we're talking about abortion, it's not even them maybe focusing on themselves. They understand there's a loss there.
Yeah.
Whereas other actual medical procedures, there's a gain. And with abortion, there's only loss.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. I just thought that we should touch on that because we hear that all the time. And I'm sure everybody listening has heard from somebody that abortion is harmful to women. But you know what? The pros outweigh the cons. And so we should mm-hmm. continue forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
The more strange thing is she follows up with talking about how actually giving birth, you know, you can have postpartum depression, have right. different things coming after that.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to women having mental, emotional problems as well. And so we should have abortion, even though there are problems with that emotionally. The way to combat postpartum depression is just kill your baby.
Yeah.
Explain this to me,
well,
Seth.
First of all, I thought like her cynicism is so shocking there. Like she's saying, assuming like this will happen, you have postpartum depression, which will lead to abuse of your child. Postpartum depression can be very, very hard for women,
yes.
right? But she's assuming yeah. that therefore they will abuse their children. Most women, I guess I have stats in front of me, but I think it leads to internal issues they need to have help with. I don't know that it leads to abuse. I would be interested in seeing her correlation, her studies on that, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's the case. I think that first of all, though, this just points to again, the reality we have to underscore once again that yes, there may be difficulties giving birth, difficulties having an abortion. So we have to ask which is right or wrong morally, right? Yeah. We know that it is wrong to intentionally kill innocent humans no matter how you feel about it. We know it is good to give birth no matter how you feel about mm-hmm. it, right? So that just must have to be clarified. And this girl was talking so fast, Claire, of course, had no chance to say that, right? But anyone listening, like that's the first major point that we want to treat these questions. They're important, but make sure we're dealing with not weighing like, oh, where's the harm on which side more, but which is morally
Absolutely.
Right or wrong, right?
Yeah.
And I would say there, even if we are weighing the which one is more harmful, we would still lead to abortion as more harmful because it ends yeah. the life of a human being
yeah.
versus just having postpartum depression. I actually looked into postpartum depression yesterday in preparation for this.
Nice.
And a lot of the places were saying that postpartum depression usually lasts from like 3 to 6 months after, you know, giving birth versus abortion is the rest of your life.
We've talked to women, all of us here, we're 20 years,
yeah.
30 years afterward, they still are carrying these deep burdens they've never told anyone. That's not the same as postpartum depression at
Absolutely.
All.
Absolutely. And I have some statistics here that I would like Ethan to respond to after I share them. So this is a study done in 1997, and it was just a study on women after abortion and the suicide rate. Basically. So the risk of suicide after birth was half of that of the general population. So if we're just talking about, okay you have you giving birth to your baby, your risk of committing suicide is half of the general population. The risk of suicide.
Sorry, half the rate. So yours is less than the general population.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow.
Half of the general population. The risk of suicide following an abortion was 600% greater than following a birth.
Wow.
So even if we're just going off of, let's compare people who get pregnant, give birth to their babies, versus people who get pregnant and kill their babies through abortion, we can see there's a very big contrast.
Those who've had abortions yeah. are 6 times more likely to commit suicide than those who gave birth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
and this will be, we can drop this in the show notes so everyone can read this for themselves.
Definitely.
And
I
who
that.
Puts out this pamphlet that we're getting this information from?
So this is EPLOG, American Association for Pro-Life
OBGYNs,
gynecologist. Yes. So I know, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Say their name so sadly. I kind of said it like,
the American
oh, don't
Association
finish
of Pro-Life OBGYNs.
Yeah, yeah,
shout
there
out.
You go. Yeah. There you go, yeah.
They also have a podcast too. Check
oh,
out
really?
That too. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes too.
Okay, awesome. That's cool. So anyways, I just thought that was super interesting because
yeah.
even if we're just going back to what she's saying, it doesn't line up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the question then becomes, is it okay and justifiable, which Seth, you've already covered this, but Ethan, is it okay and justifiable to kill your child
because mm-hmm.
you might possibly harm them after giving birth to them because of some postpartum depression that you'll fall into? Is it better to, well, you know what? I was going to ask you this question,
no, this
but I'm going to flip
this
it.
Is a good question. Okay.
Well.
I liked it, but.
I want to say is, you finish the question.
I was just
going
to clarify, like, because I did mention before, like, weighing them, which one is morally right and wrong.
Yeah.
But you were getting to the point, Lexi, that also with the abortion, it is certain wrong. With the postpartum depression, possible, it's possible challenges, right? So you have the certainty of a moral wrong and the possible problem. So clearly the certainty is the bigger issue here, right, than the possibility of facing challenges in the future.
Absolutely. So I have a question because I thought of that and then I thought of something else. Do you think mothers or women in general can use self-control and not abuse their children?
I think they could.
I think that's so obvious, right?
And if we don't like abuse on children, why would we be okay with moms dismembering their children?
Yeah.
Isn't that the ultimate abuse?
Exactly. I just think the big question here is, can women use self-control and not commit harm, even when they're not feeling good emotionally?
Well, and what a low view of human beings and of mothers to say that, well, they might be going through a difficult time, and because of that, we should just let them kill their child instead of expecting them to do the right thing. What would we do this with anyone else? Like, well, you might hurt someone because you're feeling lousy, so let's just kill them now so it removes the possibility of you hurting them. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Where do you get that kind of thinking?
I don't know.
I can tell you where it came from.
Okay, tell us, Seth.
Indoctrination from a long line. I mean,
ditto.
Okay, true. But I just think it's just so laughable, okay? We're supposed to believe that abortion is supposed to be, women's rights is supposed to be so empowering. But you, all of these people that you're talking to who are really advocates for abortion.
Yeah.
In the same breath, we'll make these sort of claims like women need abortion because, you know,
because
what if they'll abuse
themselves.
Their children?
Well, see, this is why. So when you introduced the question at the beginning of the episode, the top of the episode, heard the question, I pictured maybe a 35, 45, 55-year-old woman who had experienced postpartum depression speaking from a deep-seated pain.
Okay.
But then when we saw the clip, which I know our listeners can't see the clip, but it's a young college student, maybe 18, 19, 20, I don't know.
Yeah.
This laundry list is dropping this stuff, and it seemed more like I've heard these things rather than I've experienced them. Yeah. So it didn't seem to be what I expected at all. I expected deep-seated pain. It seemed like just throwing that out there. I've heard somewhere postpartum depression is so terrible, women kill their kids. That's just not true.
Right.
Yes, it sometimes does happen, but that is not the normal experience.
And I think that's really what it comes back to.
I guess the point is that you see it's like it's pro-abortion ideology, not necessarily experience. And I think that's, we need to ask people, like, where do your views come from? Because it could be deep heart pain. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure that was the case here. We don't know.
No, and even if it was, right? Even if it was, we can sympathize with that person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying. Like, okay, even mothers who do abuse their children, just like we don't condemn mothers who've had abortions, we're not going to condemn mothers who've abused their children. Both of those things are really terrible. Don't abuse your children. Don't kill your children.
Yeah.
Right? But there's hope for you. There's help for you. But you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be allowed to abuse your children. Yeah. Right? And so that's why we protect children. They're so vulnerable. That's what I kind of, like, grown women who are having babies can control themselves and cannot abuse their children. They have that choice to do that. They can choose to go against that, and they can choose to, you know, kill their children or abuse their children, but they shouldn't be able to do that, and there should be consequences for their actions.
And if we saw someone or knew someone who was experiencing severe depression who was going to abuse their children, we would not just walk over and push them aside. We'd walk over and try to help them, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so the same with the moms who are walking into a clinic where someone's going to do the ultimate abuse. We offer help. That's what we should do.
Exactly. And she made another point that I think we really should touch on. And that is, if you have an abortion or if you have your child, you may face exclusion. You may get, shunned from your family, which I just thought was so ironic, because it's like you're literally shunning your own child by killing them with the fear of a possibility being shunned by your family.
Right. It's kind of just another Band-Aid fix, because she's actually getting to a point like, yes, you may have a child, a young girl may have a child out of wedlock because she was raped or taken advantage of or something like that. And she might be ostracized because of that. So because she's going to be ostracized, let's instead tell her to just get an abortion and she can make it all go away, which we know that's not true. No. Instead of addressing the root problem, what is the root problem? That society has a low view of women who are taken advantage of and have a child out of wedlock. You know, we need to support people in that, provide healing and care for those sorts of people, not shun them or ostracize them.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Now, I would say that what she was saying here just points to, I think, you know, we don't know her story at all, but it seems like for her, status matters so much. The idea of being socially stunned, economically, shunned, she said too, like for her, your place in society, how you're seen matters so much. Whereas we would say that can matter, but it's not all that matters. Mm-hmm. You living a life of virtue matters far more than what someone thinks about you. If you live a life that is virtuous and someone thinks poorly of you, it says more about the society you're in, as you were just saying, Ethan, than about you yourself.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think a lot of people who are in this worldview don't really understand that there's community that's available. People who aren't Christians, like, I don't know, you know, the community I would have if I wasn't a Christian. So if you think about, okay, if you're in a church, you're surrounded by people who want to care for you and love you and would help you if you were in bad circumstances, like she's talking about, or, you know, you have postpartum depression, or you're struggling financially. Like, we have a community since we're Christians, we're involved in a church. We have these people around us who will help us, who will care for us, who will love us, and we're not alone. But I think a lot of people don't have that. And so they don't even know what that would look like. They can't imagine that. They kind of feel like it's them versus everybody else. And it's even them versus their own baby. Mm-hmm. But even if you have a baby, you got your best friend.
Yeah.
You have your best friend now. You have at least somebody. Yeah. Even if everybody's going to turn against you, that baby needs you. That baby's going to love you so much more than, you know, your boyfriend
Being needed whoever. Is very important for people to feel like you fill a need in someone's life.
Absolutely. And who needs you more than that little baby who you're all they have, you're all they know. Don't abandon them. Don't kill them.
That's a good point.
And I think that the last point I want to make before we wrap this up today is she talked about, again, financially, babies cost a lot of money.
$14,000 a year, she said.
Yes. She said $14,000.
I think what she said.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or what, but can we put a price tag on human life, Seth?
You literally cannot.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that is illegal.
Right. Yeah. It's called trafficking and it's bad. Yeah. If you see that happening, call the cops.
Definitely. So it's just a very... Again, when we're talking about abortion.
It costs money to raise children. It really is true, right? So what does a civil society do when you have people who cost money? Well, a civil society, if you have parents who cannot afford it, they create structures to help them. Yep. Communities, churches come in. The government even helps. And that's what we literally have in America. We have churches, communities, government structure to help you. So if you cannot afford to take care of your child, reach out. There is help.
Exactly. Yeah. So nobody's alone. Nobody's, you know, doing this all that by themselves unless they choose to.
Right, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yes. That there is so much help for you. And again, there are crisis pregnancy centers all across this nation that are there to reach out to these women and there to be there for them. And so nobody's alone. Please go share that. Everybody who's listening, if you ever hear somebody giving these arguments now, I hope you know how to respond. Just because there is a such thing as postpartum depression doesn't mean you should kill your child because of it. And doesn't mean that having depression after abortion isn't going to exist or isn't going to be even worse than having postpartum depression. And so with that being said, please go leave us a 5-star review because that will help a lot of people find this podcast. That's all we have for this week. And as always, thank you so much for debriefing with us.